back to the Glove Podcast. I have an amazing guest with us today, and I'm so looking forward to having the conversations we are about to have. This is another psychedelic session. Thank you again for tuning in. Thank you for all the support so far and the feedback that I have been getting. Without further ado, let's get started. We have Rolf with us today. Rolf, please feel free to introduce yourself and welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Gabriella. My name is Rolf. I'm from Switzerland. I'm 35 and I live a very easy life in Switzerland. I love mountains and lakes and psychedelics too.
I love it. An easy life. What does that mean to you? Do you mean like easygoing, kind of it with the flow? What does that mean, an easy life?
I try to make it as easy as possible for myself, which happened like I have good workmates. I kind of choose the company I work for. So I have good colleagues and good clients in my work environment. I have the best wife in the world, of course.
Nice.
And yeah. We rent a little house in a very peaceful, small, quaint Swiss village with about 1,500 people. So it's very, like, almost off the track.
Wow.
I say it's like a little pink bubble that we live in here. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's what I mean with easy.
Gotcha. It sounds like a very easy going life. I could feel the energy of the easy life. It's beautiful. It's quite beautiful. Let's dive right into psychedelics. Did psychedelics have something to do with that?
As a matter of fact, not so much. I grown up like a normal life. I mean, we were partying, drinking and smoking weed. But in my friends group, the psychedelics wasn't, like, besides weed, was never a big part of it. Mm-hmm. I kind of had my intuition was open to mushrooms, but never came my way for a long time. And then, I don't know, I was looking for something more. The mountains and the lakes and the snow wasn't enough. And then I was looking for more. And then I met a surf coach in Portugal. It's a beautiful spot at the Atlantic Ocean. And he told me about ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, I'm a really like a intuitional person. My gut told me like, yo, you got to do this. Wasn't even a question anymore. And then I knew I had to deep, like straight into the deep end, what other people call it. And then, yeah, two years later, it happened. And that was a very late start for me, I must say, into like the real deep psychedelic scene, or not scene, like the world, I would call it.
The world, the community. The space. That's so cool. So what about that first experience with ayahuasca was so life-changing for you? What about it made you want to work with plants more?
It kind of tore down walls for my perception, pretty much. Mm. It opened up a lot of different ways, and the realization that I wasn't going completely wrong in my life. I almost feel like I had a bit of a psychedelic life before my psychedelic experiences. But definitely brought me in connection with the right people and the right ideas, and yeah, just opened my mind, blew all the walls down.
That's awesome. And you said you feel like your life was already psychedelic prior to. What does that mean?
I feel that every human being is a psychedelic being. And the earth is so trippy that sometimes if I look at clouds, I'm like, yeah, this is maybe even more trippy than the perfect geometric visuals that you see when you're tripping. So, and the big part of me was due to my skiing passion. Skiing and mountains is still my passion for forever, and I was hunting that perfect moment, which I call flow, with skiing, and this was keeping me going for a long, long time. And then from the flow, like, I try to pursue it into like into a longer term. Flow is a very short-term moment, and then I try to integrate it into my life, and then I was a bit stuck, and I tried to go further with the skiing, and that brought me into like fearful states. But then I was asking myself, why do you have to go into the fear? It doesn't make sense. And then I got rid of the fear, and I changed, like, I think I heightened my frequency, and then all the possibilities with ayahuasca and all the psychedelics came to me naturally.
Interesting. So in your experience, you had heightened your frequency, and that created, you know, circumstances to align with those experiences with plants like ayahuasca or mushrooms.
Thanks for translating. And exactly, this is what happened to me, because I was like tearing apart the fear, and I wasn't like, I was trying to like disintegrate fear, like get rid of it. And then I was trying to see what's beyond there. It was pure love and life. And then I came to realize that gratitude is the biggest factor for me to heighten my frequency. Like, now I realized what happened back then. And gratitude opens my heart and everything to receive those gifts, to even know about psychedelics, to meet the right people that know how to get into ceremonies and stuff like that. Yeah, it's pretty much what happened to you last week, as how you told me, like you're ready, and your frequency is ready to tune into that psychedelic frequency.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's such a beautiful perspective and way of putting it. That's very, very cool. So do you feel like your experiences since that first ayahuasca ceremony, do you feel like those the other ceremonies that you've been in, and just your experience with them so far, has that changed your frequency even more?
The goal is still the same, to level up, to keep that flow state of a moment in a everlasting time. So I also use microdosing to keep my frequency high, so I can be that person that is a light or a help for others, or sometimes even guidance, and yeah, just to be the most beautiful Rolf that I can ever be.
Yeah, beautiful. And what do you microdose with?
Currently, I'm microdosing on LSD because it's easy to get, and it brings me that joy and happiness and that connection with everything around you, that for me only like pure natural psychedelics do. I mean, LSD is somewhere in between, but it still does the trick for me to be heightened and to connect with everything. And if I'm mad at my neighbor, then I'm at the same time I'm mad at myself, so it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's like in Switzerland, the November and October, no, let's say November and the beginning of December is a bit gloomy and dark, maybe as same as in Brampton, but so it gets me to the low season of the natural cycle and maintain my space. Yes.
Yeah, cool. And how long have you been microdosing for?
I started 1 year ago with LSD because my wife's from South Africa and she came for the first time to Switzerland. It was a rough patch for both of us. We had to learn to get used to each other, and she had to learn to get used to the Swiss culture. Actually, it was 2 years ago, I'm sorry. And it was a bit of a rough patch and was the way for me to get over the situation and to stay calm and peaceful.
Beautiful. And have you microdosed? What I meant with that question was not necessarily with the current microdosing, but have you microdosed with, for example, mushroom or ayahuasca or other things? Or is this your first sort of time microdosing?
I'm also microdosing mushrooms, yes. Not so much on like a schedule. When I was really going through a rough patch, I was really trying to microdose LSD every 3 or 4 days, so twice a week. And mushrooms, just a little, like a little sidekick or a little remembrance of the beauty of life in some days when you feel a bit low. And that's a beautiful gift that Mother Earth is providing to us. And I mean, it's just growing the way they are. And that's amazing.
Yeah, and that's really beautiful. Go on.
And it's forbidden. How can be something that is so purely natural and beautiful be forbidden to the whole world? Just doesn't make much sense. And
yeah.
And recently they did so many studies on anxiety and depression and PTSD and everything. And it's just a natural remedy that I also heard from other people saying, like, the earth is growing what we need. And if there's more mushrooms growing, then the humanity needs more mushrooms, especially these days, I feel.
Yeah. Are there more mushrooms growing?
I don't know, but people do grow more.
Gotcha. I have been looking into it lately, and there does seem to be a number of companies that have been working very hard at completing these studies and the different trials. And a few companies have already gotten the sort of green from various health authorities in their countries. So it does seem like it is moving in the direction of specifically with psilocybin, that being offered as a pharmaceutical drug for, you know, dealing with things like depression, anxiety, PTSD. So it does seem like it's going in that direction. I don't know how long it'll take before we get there, but it does seem like there are people doing that. I wonder, though, and I'd love to know how you feel about this. I wonder what happens when, say, you know, it does get approved and it's legal, and now you have a few corporations who will sell, you know, these pills or capsules of some kind that have psilocybin among other properties, and then. That could, like for me, what I think about is that could lead to a place where it no longer becomes accessible to just anybody. And it'll only be accessible if you go to the pharmacy and get it there. You know, like anyone could at some point, if it is legal and it is regulated, decide that, you know, we're gonna take all the mushrooms in a specific region. And, you know, divide it up between the different companies that are licensed to manufacture it or sell it. And then maybe you won't be able to just walk around in a forest and pick it up and have it or grow it at home. So that's kind of something I'm concerned about. What do you think about that?
I think the nature is always growing mushroom by itself, so no corporation in the world can stop us from picking mushrooms in the wild. And I'm sharing your concerns with corporations taking over. It happens in countries that legalize weed now. You can buy weed at the pharmacy, and everything goes through the same hands that sell the drugs. I call the pills that you get from the doctor is a drug for me, and what grows in the nature or what can be brewed from nature's ingredients is medicine. So that's a definitely a big problem. But I think there's a lot of people that also want to make sure that the right people get the right medicine, and we just have to be aware of all the corporations. It's a struggle, as same as with the weed, I guess. You guys legalized it, and now I don't know what happens in Canada right now.
Well, I mean, you can buy it in stores, you can buy it online. I think you can grow it up to a certain amount yourself, so that's nice. But I was thinking more like worst case scenario, local health authorities will then say, these mushrooms in this particular forest are now protected, so you can't just go and pick them. You can only pick them if you go through the right, bureaucratic steps and have a license to do it. Like that's what I'm thinking is like worst case scenario. Now it's like taking something that the planet gives us naturally and saying you can only have this if you go through us. Like that's like the worst case scenario. But it's like it's possible, it's also not possible. But all of that said, so is there a specific plant medicine that you gravitate towards more than others?
I feel like mushrooms, LSD, and ayahuasca is speaking the most to me. Yeah, those three. And I'm a natural guy, so I tried ecstasy and stuff, but this is just nothing working for me. So as pure as possible, and definitely ayahuasca was the starting point for everything for my psychedelic experience. So I have a strong connection with that. Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so tell me more. Like, what kinds of things, like, what is it that you love about these plant medicines, or what's important for you to share with others about them?
The biggest, the most important point for me is that it's taking down walls between people and taking wa down walls between me and the nature. I can sense that I'm only one small part of the natural world if I experience those kinds of psychedelics. And I can just walk through a forest and I just stand there with my brothers, the trees. And that's a beautiful gift that I haven't like experienced that intense before my psychedelic times. I was always walking through the forest by myself too, but maybe not so aware of the interconnectedness of everything. I think it brings out the origin of myself, or maybe we can say the humans, that we are part of the nature and that we should treat nature right.
Yeah, and also that they're there to connect with, because that's so beautiful to walk through a forest and stand with the brothers that are the trees. That's such a beautiful, beautiful awareness to have, and it's beautiful to connect with nature in that way. And I agree with you, there definitely is an element in with plant medicine or psychedelics that brings that out or makes helps us access that feeling, that connection with nature and people. And that is a really beautiful thing. And that's definitely one of the main sort of draws for me. It's that sense of community that it helps me tap into. And not just sense of community with other people, but sense of community with the trees, with the animals and the birds, feeling like they're all a part of me, rather than they're all separate from me. And you know, we're not part of the same family almost. So it is a really, really beautiful thing. What are the experiences like for you? Are you more of a sensory person when you're in ceremony? Are you more of a visual person? What's it like for you?
Different kinds. I mean, for example, the ayahuasca ceremonies is every time is different, and you're always a bit apprehensive when you start in, like if you go in, and you have to be clear in your intention and clear in your minds. And then anything can happen still from there. It can be the most purest peace on earth, or it can be like craziness all over the place. Mm-hmm. And that's life. It's every day can be like the most beautiful, purest, peaceful day, or it can be a crazy, crazy shit day. But then you also have your teachings that you take out of this day or out of this ceremony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Okay. So it's different each time. What about the process of integrating things afterwards? What's that like for you?
Yeah. I mean, as you say, you get to know a lot of insights. You get to know yourself better. You get to know the laws of nature a bit better, and you see everybody as your brother, and then you go back into daily life, and that's where the real ceremony starts for me. Then you have to integrate what you've learned and be a kind person to your neighbor, or be a kind person to your work colleagues, and that's a struggle. It's I think you have to remind yourself, it's the first time is the roughest, when you come as the most pure being on earth, and then you get back into the daily life struggles. Then you have to stay true to yourself and integrate what you got to learn from the plant medicine and use it, and be that nice person to the people, be that honest person to the people, and share your love, share the love for your family, and show your love to your friends, and I think that's the most important part. It's like a it's like a glimpse of the magic during the ceremonies, and then you have to bring it into your daily life. And if you look at the people at the ceremony, they're all like little satellites spread all over the world, and I think it's our job, or it's our duty to shine that light in our area, and especially around here. I feel like there's not as many people around that had that similar experience, and then I want to try to integrate it and show them different ways of thinking, of being, of loving each other, and just be beautiful human beings as we are. We are born beautiful, and then a lot of chaotic stuff happened, and we are told to not do this and not do that, and we have to remember what we actually are as like the most pure loving beings, and China lights.
Yeah, I love that. We're like satellites or antennas. That's really beautiful, and just that process of bringing it into our daily life and integrating it not only within ourselves, in the way in which we relate to things, but also in the way in which we interact with people around us and our environment, and kind of extending that out into our behavior as well. And that's really beautiful.
I think you, I mean, if you're strong with integrating within yourself, then it's easy to also be the same person with your environment. But if you come back from a ceremony, the first days, weeks, sometimes you're still weak because you know it's true, you know it's right. And then you get back to society and everything, everybody tells you differently. And that's where you have to stay strong and shine your light and be the beautiful person.
Yeah, I love it. Shine your light. Be the beautiful person. Very beautiful. I would love to hear, if you're open to share, an example of a ceremony, an experience you've had with any plant medicine that you'd like, and what the experience was, and how it helped you learn specific lessons, like how you arrived at different insights or realizations through that experience.
Yeah, I think I would go come back to my first ayahuasca ceremony. That was like the first real proper psychedelic experience for me, and my heart was yearning for ayahuasca, and my soul was called to it. And I happened to be in Ecuador, and the stars were aligning right, or maybe my frequency was right. And then I came into the ceremonial space with beautiful people, and I instantly felt this is my tribe, and it was just magical. And when I first drank, I felt like this is like me. I felt really true, really pure. And took me on a whole ride. I was like fighting my demons, and I was staying true to myself through that part. I was able to resist the temptation to slide off and drift off. And after a while, I was like arriving in such a peaceful state where no words or thoughts had to be executed. Everything was perfectly right. It was like a divine order. And for me, this is the reality behind the I sometimes call it monkey mind. This is a real truth. The pure divinity and the most pure peace. And I was just so overwhelmed. And on the other hand, also remembered. I feel like I was remembering my origin almost, that the most pure, I don't know what to say. It gives me goosebumps when I think about that. And I think that's the essence of that was the essence of myself that I was able to really experience and touch. And it changed my whole outlook, my whole perception about myself, about the nature and my friends and everything. And it was just mind-blowing. I remember I was calling it this my second birthday. It was,
I
yeah.
love it. I love it. Your true essence, That sounds like a very beautiful, beautiful moment. Can we backtrack for a second? Can you elaborate on what do you mean by you were fighting your demons? What was that experience like?
I was like going into like a visual roller coaster, and like it actually looked like a roller coaster. It was going around in all the crazy colors, and then those little, how can I explain them? And then I was like going into a 3D building, and those small little entities tried to pull my energy away from myself, like to distract me. And it was just so many, and I was overwhelmed, and I was just breathing, trying to stay centered and focused. And like in the end, they were making their way or disappearing, and then I was arriving in that peaceful, blissful state. It was like, I think it was like the almost like the Joker figures, those small little figures that try to pull my energy and my attention away from what is.
Yeah, that's really, really cool.
I was thinking later, it was like distractions of normal life that tried to pull myself away from my purpose and from my energy as being a calming energy for my environment. Just different distractions, like little bumps in my everyday life. I was trying to translate it that way.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Like I'm thinking when we're, for example, when we're not in a ceremony with plant medicine and we're, you know, sober and we're just going through our day to day, like for me, it sounds like it's the same process. When I try to connect with that divine order or that the divinity or the pureness of all things and of, you know, myself, there are all these distractions in the way of like me trying to go there or trying to just arrive there or be there. There are all these other distractions and they pull me in like all sorts of directions. It's like up and left and right. There are so many, and they're often like thoughts or just impressions or memories that they're like in the day to day, that's what the distractions look like. They don't look like, you know, these little entities. They look and feel differently, but it's the same quality of distractions from that pure, pure essence, which is a really beautiful thing. Do you feel like your experiences with plant medicine has helped you connect with that pure essence of yourself better over time?
Definitely, yes, definitely. I feel like I can sit down and like all these experiences with ceremonies and stuff brought me to a point where I like not every day, but I sometimes sit down in the morning and just light a candle and just breathe and try to like center myself and be ready for whatever may come. I mean, can beautiful things are not gonna knock you out of your daily routine, daily life, but there is life bumps and that's like teachings that you receive, but you shouldn't just fall off the wagon because a little bump was in your road. And I definitely integrated many more rituals into my daily routine to be ready for whatever may come this day. And with this, like, I would say like breaking off the lower parts of the frequency also gives space to heighten your frequency more. And as I said, it's like my goal is still to heighten my frequency so much that I can be in this pure state of mind and state of soul that I'm not knocked out as much, and definitely helped me a lot. And I mean, it helped me to achieve different heights of consciousness that wasn't able to touch before. So it opened my perception or my spectrum to higher levels of being, higher frequency of being. And so my base level increased already with just one ayahuasca ceremony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. And what are some of those rituals that you mentioned?
I happen to, as I said, the gratitude was one thing that it's circling around for me. It's always disappearing and then it's coming back. And it's the one thing that is speaking so much to me, is just simply giving thanks. Is giving thanks to my own being for being alive and for being this person that I am with all my flaws and everything, and giving thanks for my family, giving thanks for my partner and for the nature and just life itself. This is the one thing that is free. You don't have to look for somebody that can give you mushrooms or anything. You just sit by yourself and give gratitude. And this is, for me, this is a game changer. It was, it really is. And it's always going to be. Sometimes I forget. I'm human. So, but then life gives you those little hints, and then you have to remember.
Yeah, it sure does. Life definitely gives hints and helps. It's a beautiful, life is a beautiful kind of support system, if you will. It's always looking out for us.
Or you can also call it a mirror. If you maybe fall a bit back, or you're not so centered as you should be, or as preferable, then you get a little side hint, and then you know that you have to find your way back.
Yeah.
And another thing is definitely breathing. It's as I said, like every human is a psychedelic being, and as you might know, we have DMT in our bodies, which we release when we die. So the white light and everything that they talk about when they go from this realm into another realm, if the human body is dying, you release a lot of DMT, and that's makes you tripping a little bit. And we can also tap into that energy or into that chemical with breathing, because our lungs also have DMT. And I can tell you, I had highs with 20 minutes of breathing that are almost comparable with a lot of psychedelics.
I completely agree with you, and I believe you. Breathing is also a very powerful part of life. I mean, I guess if we really sit to think about it, and we really look around, not only at ourselves, but everything around us, everything is an access point or a gateway. If we're just willing to just sit with any part of life, we can access everything through that one point, because we are all that one point, or everything is that point. Everything is everything. Or everything is that divine or divine energy or divine essence, or pure essence. And so even if we were looking at a butterfly and we were being really, really present to that butterfly, same way if we were to be really, really present to our breathing or with a plant in a ceremony, all of these are gateways. They're all doors. They're all those mirror reflections. So life in itself, this whole container is a beautiful beautiful gift full of like amazing, powerful ways of connecting and remembering that pure essence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. And with when I come back with the flow states in skiing that I was seeking for and all the psychedelic experience, it's for me right now, the breathing is the one that gets me into that frequency the quickest. It's the easiest accessible, and I can do 20 minutes of holotropic breathing and I'm high as a kite, as you would say.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's super cool.
And it's a really powerful tool that we forgot over the years. And I think that's why I say we are psychedelic beings, because we already have those chemicals, or I don't know what's the other word, this stuff that we have inside our body that we can release. I mean, it's the same with emotions, love and everything. And then your hormonal system is like overflowing. And with the breathing, you just, there's a lot of energy going through your body and a lot of awareness, and you heighten your frequency. It's just incredible. That's the same thing as microdosing LSD or mushrooms for me,
mm-hmm.
in a short and easy way.
That's what microdosing is like for you. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. What is holotropic breathing?
It's a technique from what is his name? Stanislav Grof. I think he's from the Czech Republic, somewhere around there, maybe Poland, I'm not sure. And he was a big psychonaut back in the days, in the 60s and 70s, and he was inventing this breathing technique,
mm-hmm.
as a way to treat people with, what do you call it, like psychological problems and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was basically just trying to find a tool that was easy accessible for everybody to help overcome their problems and to heighten their states in a non-problematic way. Because you cannot just give LSD to everybody or ayahuasca to everybody. It's not how it works. And breathing is legal. I hope it's still going to be legal in a thousand or a million years, and it's a very easy and powerful technique. Yeah, and the point is that I think that breathing and the psychedelics and everything is, I think they're triggering your own being.
Mm-hmm.
To remember your connection with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And with microdosing is like a homeopathic part. It's the homeopathic thing is to have a little, like a tiny little bit of information that brings you the bigger picture. And with microdosing is the same. It's that you just have to, your body and your soul has to remember what's out there. And that little bit of information of a tiny little mushroom helps you remember the big picture of which we are in.
Mm-hmm.
These beautiful blue planets and those beautiful 8 billion beautiful people that inhabit it. And
mm-hmm.
it's just a way to remember. And I think babies, they have it. They don't need anything. They have this pure essence, they show it and they are. Like if you look at a baby, it's just, they're just pure. It's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that was so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I had goosebumps. There's something I heard recently about children being in a dreamlike state. Mm-hmm. Up until a certain age, children are basically in a dreamlike state. Whereas as an adult, there's sort of this distinction between our waking life and our dream state.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in a TED Talk on psychedelics, and she said that the children are still in a dream state. Mm-hmm. They're always in a dream state, and like that, when we tie that back into the experiences of ceremony and the way in which breath has a profound impact on our experience and our perception, it all does make sense and it all fits in together. Because I don't know if it's the same for you, but I know for me and my experiences with plant medicine or psychedelics, the first thing I start to notice is my breathing changes. So as soon as something starts to change, my breathing changes as well. And when I'm having an experience that is challenging or difficult, it's often I can often trace that back to my breath, and I can see the way in which my breathing is not it's not in harmony with that particular like state. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the way I'm breathing is resisting, like it's causing resistance or friction between myself and the state that I'm in. Whereas when I focus on my breath and I just listen for like the most natural breath that makes sense in that consciousness or in that awareness, then I'm tapping into like the harmony and peace with that place. Does that make sense?
Completely. That's beautifully put. And I think if we can connect that back, then all makes sense. I mean, if you're stressed, that was my point. If you're stressed, you tend to like shallow breathe. So you only mm-hmm. use a little bit of volume of your lungs, and then you get more stressed. It's like a cycle that leads to the wrong side. And if mm-hmm. if you're stressed and then take 10 deep breaths, you just calm the fuck down. And it's just easy and accessible for everybody.
Mm-hmm. It really, really is. And that reminds me, you said, I hope it's illegal for the next 1,000 years. I don't know how you could take away someone's breathing, because if you take away breath, then, you know, the person dies. Breath, you know, it gives us all these beautiful things, and it also gives us life. Without breath, you know, we like our bodies just wouldn't function. At some point, it would stop functioning. So it'd be very difficult to make it illegal. I don't know how that would work.
If you think about what they do with the water, they also bottle it up and sell it to you. That's completely out of the way. I mean, mm-hmm. this is the most essential. I think you can go longer without food than without water. Water is mm-hmm. the master teacher, and those corporations, they bottle it up and sell it to you. So I mean, if mm-hmm. if you think about the future in a very wrong way, then I see corporations bottling up oxygen. Mm-hmm. It's just, you also already buy water that has extra oxygen in and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's,
humanity,
you know what?
Is madness.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought of it that way at all. That's really funny. I mean, now I can picture it as a possibility. I can bottle up oxygen. that would definitely be an interesting place.
Terrible.
Very interesting
Terrible.
Place. so okay, let's where do you want to go? What do you want to talk about in terms of plant medicine or psychedelics? What is it that you love talking about when it comes to this?
I feel like this, the tribe that I was blessed to meet mm-hmm. in the ceremonial space and around the ceremonial space is just, I don't know, it's like blew my mind. And the community around there was so pure and so free that I was always looking for that. I was yearning for that my whole life, but I couldn't find mm-hmm. it within my limited boundaries. Mm-hmm. And to see that other people, in as we said earlier, the other satellites all over the world are having the same thoughts and having the same feelings. That was something that really helped me appreciate the bigger picture and the story of my life, because I'm not the only one. And to see other people as my family, as my tribe, like looking for that more, that extra, that different realm or anything, also gives me confidence to talk to other people and maybe expand their perception and their lives. So it's like an enhancer for me. I know I have my family in the back, and it's not just my ancestral family, but it's also like my family that, like you, Gabriella, I haven't met you, but our beautiful brother Sheldon brought us together and to have a chat tonight. And that's just beautiful to have that support system. And I think in the future, we are able to get bigger and to really change the world. My wife always calls me a bit too optimistic, but I'm really feeling that we can change the world together, and we have that power. It doesn't take 100% to start a revolution, and the revolution starts within. But we are able to start a slow revolution. I think it already started long ago, but we are part of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. That's very beautiful. And what does that look like for you? What is this change that you're talking about? Like, what are we changing the world to?
To be more present, to be more aware, to be more kind to each other, and to start living and working as a community, because we separated each other so much over the last, I don't know how many years or hundreds of years. And I think it's time to get back together and to live as a community again.
Yeah, I'm with you. Community is such a beautiful and powerful, powerful thing. I'm with you. I'm on board. Sign me up.
We're going to start that revolution.
Yeah. Starting it. It's already started. We're going to take it to the finish line.
Yeah, definitely.
How do you feel about the plants themselves? Do you think that they have their own consciousness, that they are their own sort of being with their own identity or entity? Or do you think that they simply act as, you know, those gateways or access point? They open doors for us to access ourselves or you know, the pure essence, or a combination of both?
I think they definitely have their own consciousness, and it's not just a coincidence that ayahuasca makes its ride around the world now, because it's time, as you said, it's time to get to the finish line and to be human again. And I mean, we are humans, but we've lost our senses a little bit on the way. And I think the rise of the internet, as it's a part two. I mean, the internet made ways possible to share those experiences and that everybody can talk about it. But ayahuasca definitely has its own plan to heal the people and heal their ignorance and heal their arrogance. And it's the eagle and the condor are flying together in the very near future. There's a South American, what is it? It's a myth, but I think it's a true story that the eagle and the condor separated 500 years ago. And then the eagle represents the North American westernized civilization, and the condor, the South American graciousness, the beauty, and they separated and they went their own path. And now it's time for them to come back together and to live as one big community over the earth. Maybe like we don't have to, we have to think in a whole big community as the earth, but then we live in a small community that works within, and then we can change the world. And the it's definitely the with the South African, sorry, my wife is South African. That's why I said South African. The South American shaman said that that myth of the eagle and condor separated 500 years ago, it's now coming back together. And ayahuasca is one thing that represents the condor going towards the eagle now, because the eagle is still a bit stubborn. In its westernized civilization, so the condor helps the eagle to see different things or different ways, and the mushrooms, there was that guy talking to Joe Rogan with the mushroomy head, and he says that there is a network in the ground. It's a bit a bit conspirational, but there's a mushroom, like a fungi network covering the whole earth, and fungi are the network of the plants. They're like the internet of the plants, and they have their own vision of the world that they want to bring the people back together as well.
Beautiful. So that's the mission of the mushroom. I love that, the network of the plants, the internet of the plants, and mushrooms are sort of like the technology.
Exactly. Yeah, and they're
the communication.
They have their own consciousness, and but in the end, everything works towards being one, being together, that we can live besides each other. We're not. I mean, if we cut down all the trees in the world, we're not going to survive anymore, because then you have bottled oxygen. But if we take care of the trees, take care of the animals, and then the blue planet stays blue and beautiful and is still inhabitable for our future generations.
Yeah. You said something earlier, that it's, you know, like a breathing technique works for some people, and for example, plant medicine or ayahuasca, it's not for everybody. What are sort of in your, you know, from your perspective, what does it look like for a person to not, like ayahuasca is not the right thing for them, or psychedelics is not the right thing for them?
I think there's different levels, and maybe ayahuasca is the deep end, and if somebody's not cold to ayahuasca, I would never like recommend anybody to do ayahuasca if it's not speaking to them. So if I talk to a stranger, then if something pops up with psychedelics and ayahuasca, then I'm apprehensive to just sell them to book the next trip to the Amazon and drink ayahuasca, because I think it's very personal, and it's not everything is for everybody, definitely not. Mushrooms is more easier accessible from my point of view. So if somebody's hesitant with ayahuasca but still keen to try something, then maybe mushrooms is a good starting point.
And why do you say that? Why is it a better starting point?
Because the energy feels a bit more light if you don't take 5 grams in the first sitting. It's more light and subtle, and it can prepare you for something bigger. So you can dive in. I mean, if you smoke a big blunt with a lot of weed, then you also almost have like a psychedelic experience. And if you take a little bit of mushroom to start with, that's maybe comparable without the bad side effects of of having a dry mouth and red eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. That's actually a very good point, because with ayahuasca, I mean, I guess you could have just a sip or two, or drink a little less, but it's a lot more challenging to limit the amount of ayahuasca that you're actually having. Whereas with shrooms, if it's not, you know, in the form of tea or something like that, then you can pick and choose how many grams you're going with, or milligrams. Mm.
And ayahuasca also should be, from my point of view, should only be consumed for the first time with a shaman in a proper set. Like, your mindset should be right, and the setting should be right too, because the shaman is responsible for that. So you don't have to take care of everything. If you do mushrooms by your own, then you also have to take care of the set and setting, so you're ready and you're aware and you're positive. It's not, if you try it for the first time, you shouldn't try it on a bad day. You should be like balanced and positive, and then your environment, your setting should be right too. I mean, if ayahuasca is calling you, then go to South America and drink ayahuasca. Or if you can do it in Canada or anywhere, if it's calling you, go for it. And if the mushroom's calling you, go for it. Basically, you are your own shaman. Everybody is their own shaman, and they have to find a way. I mean, somebody can knit as their passion, and they can have spiritual enlightenment through through knitting, and that's beautiful. Other people do yoga to find their balance, and that's amazing. Not everybody has to do psychedelics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Not everybody has to. And for those of us that do, for some of us, it's a beautiful experience, and they are beautiful relatives of ours. Relatives, companions, part of our big family or big tribe called life or nature.
Definitely. And I think even the whole origin of our human being is, or the evolve, the evolution of the human being is tightly connected to psychedelics and plant medicine. If you think about the evolvement from Homo sapiens, that they were just like hunting and gathering around, and then to be able to live in communities of 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 people, that was, if you believe Terence McKenna and other guys, then the mushrooms were helping the evolution of the humankind to be able to talk about feelings and fiction, to build up these communities. Because in today's life, a lot of our society is based on fiction, and the Homo sapiens was an animal back then, and somehow we managed to be able to talk about God and nations and currencies and stuff like that, and that link can be like an extraterrestrial intervention, or can be a divine intervention, or it also can be a psychedelic intervention. Because, I mean, if you were a Homo sapiens 50,000 years ago, if you see those mushrooms sitting around, you probably would have tried them, and then your consciousness was rising through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the circle is coming back together, because psychedelics in the last 50 years were just booming, and I think it's our origin. It's not only this time that we are enjoying and the benefits of psychedelics, because it brings us back together, and I think it's also where we started to be this ape that inhabits the whole world right now.
Yep. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's our origin. It's a homecoming. It's a remembrance. It's a coming together of things. Maybe a return or a completion of a cycle of some kind. The cycle being greater humanity. Yeah. So beautiful. So beautiful. What a beautiful conversation. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share before we close off this episode?
Just don't take yourself too serious. It's a one beautiful ride that we all share, and it should be fun. And it should be not so egotistical. I mean, you can have this crazy visions and stuff like that, and you think you're Jesus or whatever. But you're still human, Homo sapiens, as the ape, as we said before, and it's amazing. This is a gift to be able to explore consciousness that psychedelics give us naturally, and I think we should enjoy it and have fun with it. Psychedelics are not just there for nothing. It's really a gift from Mother Earth to us, that we can explore deeper states of consciousness and different thoughts, just to break our own thought pattern. Sometimes it's the most powerful thing. If you're stuck in a loop and you just think the same 1,000 thoughts every time, and then psychedelics just kick your butt and you rewire your brain. You have to rewire, and it's a beautiful gift that psychedelic gives us.
Yeah, exactly. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Well, thank you, Rolf, for such a wonderful conversation. I had goosebumps every now and again, especially when you were sharing stories and when you were talking about the beauty of life and you know, like the story of you walking through the forest and feeling the presence and feeling connected to the trees. And like there were moments where I for sure had goosebumps, and it was just beautiful. Oh, and the other moment was when you shared about your first ayahuasca experience and really arriving at that pure essence. Such beautiful moments to share. So thank you for that. Thank you for the goosebumps. Thank you for the conversation. And thank you for, you know, giving this gift of sharing our experiences to the world with me.
Thank you, Gabriella. This is a beautiful work that you do, or passion with the podcast, to give people a platform to talk about their experiences and about their life. And I hope it inspires a lot of people to maybe follow the psychedelic path or do different things that is their passion, and just to be as pure human beings as we are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Rolf.
Thank you.
And that was another psychedelic session with Rolf. What a beautiful conversation. Again, those goosebumps are just such a lovely, lovely, lovely feeling. I love goosebumps. How do you feel about goosebumps? I love them. Thank you again for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you learned something new. I hope you had goosebumps too. Thank you for all the support. And that was another episode, a psychedelic session. Do check back in for more, as I will be pushing these out as often as I can, as consistently as I can. Have more and more of these conversations, as well as the intuitive sessions with more and more beautiful people on this planet. Thanks again for tuning in. Until next time.